This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
It's great to be with you, everybody. And today we've also got, welcome, Michael. Welcome, Mark. Welcome, Leo. Are they there? Yes. Hi. Good to see you all. Just tell us quickly where you are and, I know, what you can see out of your window. Let's start with Mark. Where are you and what can we see out of your window?
I'm in Headingley, but I can't see out my window because I've closed the curtains so you can see me. But I, out of my window, if I look, I'd see the green stand of Headingley Stadium. I'm that close to the cricket ground, which is probably quite a jealous thought for you because I know you're a cricket fan. But, yeah, I can't quite see the tops of the beautiful white roses of the floodlight. I'm there anyway.
Excellent. Nice to see you, Mark. And Michael, where are you and what can you see?
Yes, I'm in Northampton. And what I can see my garden outside and some garages and some sky.
And that's some what sky. I can
see. Some sky.
You've got sky in Northampton. Where are you, Cleo? And what can you see out of your window?
I'm in Bolton and I can see my neighbour's house and a field with some horses in.
Horses. They have horses in Bolton. Excellent. Well, it's been really good to have you with us. And this morning, we're going to take turns at hearing from these guys. A couple of weeks ago, though, Alison had a picture of a ball of string. I don't know if you were tuned in for that. And it was a prophetic picture of how we can all take our part in, you know, one of those games where you pass the ball of string around a circle and it builds up a lattice and we all take our part. So we're going to use that as a way of just illustrating the value of having three people each contribute their piece to this understanding of justice that we're working on at the moment. Our theme is all about, it's heart to heart, and it's all about justice and righteousness and restoring relationships in the kingdom. So I'm going to throw this ball of string at them one after the other and give them a chance to build their part and take their part in our thinking. So we'll start with Mark. Say, see you later, Cleo and Michael. Mark, here you go. Are you ready to catch?
I think so.
There you go. Brilliant. Well done. Let me pray for you and then I'll let you preach. Lord, please bless Mark in these few minutes. And speak to us as he shares what's on his heart. Amen. Over to you, Mark.
Amen. The question we were actually specifically asked was, when we talk about justice, what does the Holy Spirit speak to me about? And I would like to start with a Bible passage straight away that I think gives clarity and surprise that following Jesus brings to us. And I feel it speaks into God's justice as well. It's Matthew's Gospel, actually. It says Jeremiah on the screen, but it's actually Matthew's Gospel, and I can read it out to you. It's chapter 25, verses 37 to 40. Oh, we've got it. That's good. And it's about coming into the kingdom prepared for you. So then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you stranger and invite you in, needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? And the king will reply, truly I say to you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. So my key thought today is God's justice and love are intermingled. The more they're intermingled, the better. For me, my response today is two things that must be related, and I hope that these thoughts will help each of you today. Firstly, my initial reaction was, it should be by me. And it brought all to mind all those things, those opportunities that I'm not doing, a sense of guilt. As I look out and see injustice in many spheres of life, near to home and afar, people affected unfairly and people in need. Secondly, it's about me and God's justice on me and on what I am. This justice feels totally quenched by his grace, his love. My initial sense of justice, perhaps worldly justice, is inverted by God's grace as I come to him. I really feel undeserved, amazing grace, and I thank him so much for that. The more I think about it, the more overwhelmed I become. His kingdom is full of forgiveness and love. Let me concentrate on the first one, which needs prayer for God's discernment. Justice and guilt? What do I do? What could I do? Could I do more now I'm retired with more time? You've probably noticed my ball of string is bigger than David's. We all do need inspiration. And I'd like to take you back with me, maybe 5 or 10 years in this church, when we served big issue sellers on the streets in the city centre. My wife Jane and I joined this group under the really inspirational leadership of quite a few people who are still here. We were serving a clear need of poverty, focusing on the big issue sellers and others in the streets in the city centre too. Tea, coffee with lots of sugar, a sandwich, a chocolate bar, the offer of a prayer on a Saturday morning in Leeds city centre. And later, an amazing Christmas lunch cooked by Beryl and Frank in the Vineyard Centre. This was well received and fulfilling for more than just those in need of a meal. It was a blessing. I discovered as part of that group that each person we met had a name, a story, and I was becoming part of that story, if for a short time. Andy, Jono, and others with names I wrote down to remember each week. Unexpectedly for me, the big issue sellers and people living on the streets had a readiness to receive and once give prayer. They are often a short step from an awareness of God in their daily lives and took that step in prayer. God's justice and love did seem intermingled as we served. And I asked myself, what does God see? Poverty is plain to see. And their feeling that there's little help, that is in injustice. God loves us all the same, as we've sung a few times these past weeks. What next for me personally as I move towards retirement or into retirement? I need prayer to gain direction for small and bigger commitments, perhaps in time linked with Vineyard House too. Maybe it's obedience, justice and love intermingled, as we say in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you. It's been helpful for me to think in front of everyone with Cleo and Michael too. So I'm going to pass the string back to David. Where is it?
Great. Thank you very much, Mark. Wonderful. See you a bit later. Let's just wait for a moment and pray, reflecting on what Mark has been talking about. Let's ask the Lord and allow him to prompt in you an example of the way you can extend justice and love in your life. So, Lord, we ask you to come. I ask you to come to each person listening now that you'd just prompt in us in this moment where we're meant to be extending justice and love. So just in that moment, if the Lord prompted you something, write it down, put it in your phone, and act on it in due course. Lord, I pray that love and justice may be intermingled in our lives. Amen. Second up is Michael. Michael, come and join me. Great, there you are. Here you go. Are you ready to catch?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Well done. Good. Let me pray for you, and then you can go. So, Lord, I ask you to bless Michael in these few minutes and speak to us as he shares what's on his heart. Amen. Over to you, Michael.
Amen. Thank you. I just want to say thank you again, David, for this opportunity to just share my heart with the church family on the theme of justice and injustice. I suppose, like, as a young black male, when I hear the words injustice and justice, many things come to mind, and my heart is flooded with so much emotion and stuff like that. But today, that's not really what I want to talk about. I want to actually, through my study of the scriptures and through my research and stuff like that into the heart of God, I've seen God like, he cares so much about justice. He cares so much about injustice as well. And like what Mark said, justice and love go hand in hand. Recently I found out that God has been telling me to slow down, to just kind of wait on him and just grasp these three fundamental truths that I'm going to be talking to you about today. Over the past few months and whatnot, I've learned that, like, God has been kind of teaching me this, like, before we are called into service and bringing down God's kingdom to earth and bringing down his justice on the earth, he first calls us to a relationship. He calls us to a relationship that is not built on performance, a relationship that is not built on our own merits, my own merit, but by his love and his kindness and his grace. And there's this scripture in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, that says, it's just going to come up on the screen. It says, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. And yeah, thank you for that. For me, it's just that reassurance of God's love for us and how he calls us to be in relation with him, to walk with him. And secondly, the second point that I want to make is before we are called into service as well, I'm learning that God calls us into discipleship. You know, he calls us to learn from him, to learn the ways of the kingdom from him. And in Matthew 11:29, I'm going to be reading from the Amplified, but it's still kind of the same version as that. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. It says, follow me as my disciple, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you find rest, renewal, blessed quiet for your souls. And yeah, that's the second thing that I've been learning, that we are called to actually learn from him, to be his disciple and stuff like that. And lastly, I've been learning that before we respond to this injustice, we respond to service, we respond to the call that God is pressing on our hearts, we are to examine our motives. We are to examine our intentions. I don't know how to explain what I want to explain fully, but this scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, I know most of us know 1 Corinthians 13, that, like, if you go down into probably verse 4 and down, it talks about love is this, love is that, love is that. But I feel like we often miss this, the beginning of that chapter. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clinging cymbal. If I have the gifts of prophecy and can fathom more mystery and all knowledge. And if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. For me, this scripture, it really hits heart. It really hits my heart. Like the fact that it's not just about the doing, but God cares about our motives. He cares about intentions. The reason why. It's like, I like what he says that like, we can do all of these things, but if we do not love, then it is nothing. We have gained nothing. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that love has to be the motivation. The Bible talks that God is love, you know, and in a way it's like he wants to be the center. Like at whatever we are doing and stuff like that. And yeah, just to kind of summarize what I've been trying to say and yeah, just to kind of wrap it up into a ball. So yeah, the first point that I made is that before we are called to service, we are called to a relationship. Before we are called to service, we are called to discipleship. We are called to learn from his ways. And before we respond to the call of service, we are to check our hearts. We are to check our motives. And by doing so, by living in relationship with God and learning from his ways, learning from him his ways, and being led by love, we'll be able to bring about the kingdom of God and God's justice onto our world. And yeah. That's all I have for you today, guys.
Oh, that's thank you. Great. Toss me back your string. Got you. Thank you. Let's just, thank you, Michael. See you a bit later. Let's just wait and pray into that a moment. Let's pause and allow the Lord, that first point, to draw us into relationship first. Yeah. And then asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, would you, we are in relationship with you now, would you teach us your ways? And we're in relationship with you and we're learning your ways. And now, Lord, we ask you to give us hearts of love as we seek to follow your call on our lives. Amen. Great. Last but not Cleo. So I've got this piece of string that's going all the way down to Headingley, and then it's back up, and then it's across to Northampton, and now over to Bolton. There you go. Excellent. Good catch. Let me just pray for you, Cleo. Lord, I ask you to bless Cleo in these few minutes and speak to us as she shares what's on her heart. Amen. Over to you, Cleo.
Yeah, I'm going to start by just telling you a little bit about myself. So I'm a student, I study textiles at the University of Leeds. And so my engagement with justice really began with that connection to fashion and textiles. And though I don't think I realised how prevalent the issue was initially, I became aware quite quickly of the connection between modern slavery and the kind of, yeah, the supply chains of the fashion industry. And I came to understand how disconnected we are as consumers from the realities of those producing our products on the other side of the globe. And it became this conflict for me of questioning how I pursue a career in this industry as a follower of Jesus, as someone called to love even my global neighbours. And I'm still figuring that out. But there's this verse that I always come back to, and it's like an anchor for me that speaks of my motivation in all of this. And if you've been around church for a while, you'll know it. It's John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And it's the incredible truth that God so loves you and I, that he so loves the person working in retail on the shop floor. He so loves the CEOs of our high street brands, but he also so loves the farmers and the garment workers and the factory workers of this world. And what I really felt led to touch on as I was praying what I was going to say this morning was about this idea of the one. And I find in that verse a real encouragement to see people with the inherent value that they have, not as statistics or far off distant figures, but people created and loved by God, yet dishonoured and disrespected by an industry that I engage in. Valued at a high cost by God and yet exploited for cheap labour by the fashion industry. And so as an act of worship to God and as an act of loving my neighbour, I seek justice not only for the 40 million people trapped in modern slavery today, but also for the one that God created on purpose, for a purpose, just as much an image bearer as you or I. I'm just going to finish by reading these words from a song called For the One. It's by Bethel. Both as a prayer for myself, but also for us as a church, that kind of as we have received the love of God, that we would be able to extend that same love and grace to people, even the ones that we don't see. And so it says this: let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one for whom God loved and sent his son. For humanity, increase my love. Back to you, David.
Thank you, Cleo. Let's just can I have the string back? Let's draw it back to Bolton.
Oh, got it.
Great. It's a long piece of string. It's going all over the country. You can get such a long piece of string from Wilco. That's the best place. Thank you. Let's just invite the Holy Spirit to minister to us. Thinking back to what Cleo said about the value in the other, the one, the other person. And I just sense that we need to ask the Lord to teach us to see the image bearers in the one, just like she was describing. Lord, would you help us to see you in others? And perhaps just in this moment, we could just think about some of the people we deal with in our, you know, in our shopping and stuff, and just allow the Lord to remind us that they are image bearers. Well, let us be filled with kindness and compassion for those ones. Amen. Come back, Cleo. Come back, Michael. Come back, Mark, if you can untangle yourselves from all that string.
That was so good.
Really let's just, we're going to move into time prayer ministry, but I just want to invite you three, if you would like to, you don't have to, but if you'd like to, just to pray over the church now, just appropriately to what you were saying, perhaps, and then we'll move into praying for other things as well. So can I invite whoever's watching now just to receive and let these guys pray for us for a moment.
May I pray into something to do with the unity that we have as a church around our balls of string? Because I was thinking, we had at the start the Green Team, the Modern Slavery group, that's new in a way. We're talking into new areas, and I'd quite like to pray into that so that people don't feel alone in those. We've got groups where people are, say this is the Green Team one, people are holding their bit of string together within that theme, as well as our church holding string. So may I pray, Lord, thank you for the new things that we're doing as a church together, and help us to hold our piece of string. Help us to be willing to grasp the piece of string where it belongs to us. Help us to see that it belongs to us, each one, which piece of the string that we might take for green,
or for the equality issues that we're talking into, or the environment. Help our hearts to grow closer to you and to each other in our journeys into these new themes and issues as we reach out and we reach to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, Lord, I just pray that you just draw us to you by your love. Yeah, Lord, I pray that you just begin to teach us your ways and lead us by your Spirit. Yeah, Father, I pray that as a church, we'll come to a place like when Jesus came, when he said that, I can only do what I see my Father do. Yeah, Father, I pray that as a church, we'll be like children, just imitating our Father, imitating you, God, in whatever we are doing. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, and part of the reason that I wanted to kind of touch on this idea of the one is that I know that these big kind of justice issues can sometimes feel a bit overwhelming, so I just want to pray into that. Yeah, so Father, I just pray that we'd be reminded that we do this both in partnership with you but also in community with one another, that we just remind us of the hope that we have, that as we seek justice for people, we don't do that alone, and we don't do that without hope. We're doing do it knowing that all things are going to be restored. I just pray that people would be reminded of that today.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Cleo. Wonderful stuff.